Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's me and Paul, appropriately socially distanced, but back together!
Back on track. Hackney Marshes.
Isn't it beautiful here?
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's really, really nice. The car park's shut. I've had a beef about it, but I've sensed you're not as bothered. We are in different places with it, aren't we? Which yep. We have to accept.
Well, you're the first person I've met deliberately.
Right.
Since the last time I saw you 8 weeks ago.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
And
I've seen a few more people.
Yeah, and I find... Yeah, I've seen some people. People have come... We've seen people... In the people have come outside a window. And
right.
I guess we bumped into people in the street, but what's the 2 meters apart version of bumping into someone?
I think we're at a weird. We won't talk about this a lot because it's just a bit. It's a bit dull. I think we're at a weird transitional point, aren't we?
Yeah.
Where some people, there's more people coming out. Every now and again, you are gonna, like even in supermarkets or whatever, you are occasionally going to end up a bit closer, aren't you?
Yeah.
To people. And some people are really freaked out about that and some people aren't.
Yeah. I'm one of the ones that are.
Yeah.
I'm much more relaxed than I used to be because I've got used to it, you know, and I know,
yeah.
You know, one gets used to life.
Yeah.
But it can really mount up.
Yes.
So we're going to shop and have a little kind of, oh no trouble, oh, sorry about that. And then another one happens, then another one's happened. And then I start getting very...
You get a bit...
Antsy.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
But equally, I think it's interesting that it has felt like with our civilised front brains that spring and nature have kind of come on and summer's arrived and people have just been really stuck. But actually, we're all part of that natural world and we've all shifted with it too. You know, things have changed. Things do change. Even the podcast, I thought there was something kind of beautiful about how by last week, I felt very... It just wasn't that weird. I felt like we were doing this.
Yeah, when I went out
and ran and we remote recorded. I was going to say, it wasn't like it wasn't technically difficult. We got used to it as a new normal.
Yes.
But there was something perfect about the fact that as that kind of hit that moment, it was time to do something else, which is this, you know.
See, I find the phrase new normal a bit sinister. I think we need to call it temporary normal.
Absolutely.
Because it's not going to... Because I think we're very quick to adapt, aren't we? Which
yeah,
is great.
Absolutely.
And that's what this has shown us.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And I would say, whisper it. There's no such thing as normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think you like my 2 meter appropriate stage whisper.
Yeah. But the things that made, a lot of the things that made life worth living in a lot of cities are not just, they're just not going to work with social distancing.
No.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that. It's waiting on treatments, isn't it?
Yeah.
Once treatments come in and confidence rises.
Yeah.
It's entirely based on that.
But initially, the quiet conversation, quite rightly, not much of the conversation, but it is in the national conversation. And also, we hear it quite a lot from our you know, friends and so on and social networks, is that people going and enjoying the arts in groups, it's one of the least important things. It's one of the last things to come back. There was a promoter online today saying, I was going to do a gig in July, and I asked people if they're interested. Should we go around there?
Yeah, okay. And a lot of them weren't.
And they weren't. And he was like, oh. So, well, they're not. I don't think they're going to be, you know.
Well, I actually think that if you have 4 weeks of very low numbers or flatlining, I think it'll come back as quickly as it went, personally. But, you know, there's some people...
Well, again, it changes all the time, doesn't it? Something that seems unthinkable right now will be...
That's what I mean. I think it flips quickly. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
All I know is that London, without the hospitality industry, you might as well be anywhere else. I mean, that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? Without going at West and the theatre and restaurants and clubs and...
So, hanging around outside pubs.
Yeah. So we'll see. But it's good to be out running again. Lots of people as well.
Yeah.
Doing the little circuits.
There's always loads of people here, but it's huge, so it's okay.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
And there's been... And how's your running been? How's your weekend been?
It's been good.
What have you been up to?
I find that when it's a bit hot like this, I wish I had some plasters over my nips.
Right.
They're chafing already. I got sweaty nipples, Paul.
You're getting a bit of a chafe.
Come on, forget to talk about the lockdown. Let's get to the key stuff.
Yeah.
My sweaty nips are beginning to chafe against my singlet.
Yes. Yeah. You're getting a bit of a chafer.
Just a little tangent. They're planting loads of trees here.
Right.
It's funny on the marshes, how, which is lovely because it's massive, so there's room for it. You know, there's not enough sport to fill the marshes anymore. And it's good for,
that's
nature.
Yeah.
But also it's a funny old thing because they haven't laid off anyone who works for the council and no one's getting furloughed or anything.
Right.
It's amazing how much they're getting done.
Right.
See an incredible amount of gardening happening down here in the same way. I see huge amounts of waste collection and recycling.
Yeah. Which is why I think they should have the car parks open.
Well, yeah.
And why I think they should have the toilets open.
Everyone's here anyway.
Yeah.
So back to the running. I've had one of those times.
Yeah.
I said to you last week, you know, I was looking to try something different, but then I improved my press-ups and my taper week.
Right.
Felt a bit more... enforced than necessary, you know, I was feeling pretty fit and strong. And then got back into it, 4 mileage last week.
Right.
And I feel fine, I'm strong, I'm doing all the right things.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show how you kind of can't predict your biorhythms, because this is the week I could do with a taper week.
Right, you just
feel... I feel sluggish.
You feel tired.
My joints all feel heavy. I've had achy hips, and I did my slowest fast 5K on a Saturday for weeks.
Interesting. Interesting.
So, you know,
I think
it'll be back.
I've a untested and probably nonsense theory that as we come out of the lockdown and as we sort of ease, more people will start to feel tired and ill.
Well, particularly if you take ease.
Yeah. Well, because they've been on war footing, haven't they? Their systems have been, their immune system's been working really hard.
Yeah.
It'll be like, you know, when you stop working at Christmas.
Yeah.
Everyone gets a bit ill. I think it's been very tiring.
But have immune systems been working hard? I mean, hopefully, theoretically, they haven't.
Well, they have, haven't they? You've been doing your best to boost your immune, haven't you, during this period?
That's not how it works. If you're at home and you're not coming across any germs, your immune system is not working hard.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take vitamin C and zinc or whatever, it might be technically fitter, but it's not being tested.
Yeah, but a lot of people have been out.
That's the thing. But you're talking about as the lockdown eases.
Yeah.
So.
No, but that's been the the stay indoors thing. It just hasn't. The vilification of people sunbathing in parks, I found a particularly odious manifestation of this, because that's really is one of the best things they could have been doing.
It is good for you, a bit of vitamin D.
It's massively good for you.
But the guy I saw in Victoria Park yesterday running backwards.
Right.
I don't think that's necessary.
No. That's not...
But I reserve a special disapproval for people who run backwards, because aside from time and nature and social norms and social distancing, yeah, it's just against what your body wants to do.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? The argument is that it's, well, let's try it. He said it's working muscle. I feel such a twat. it works different muscles, doesn't it?
I'll tell you what, though. I suppose it's good. I did when we did it just then. We did just run backwards, guys. When we did it just then, I felt like a footballer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's that.
It feels quite cool for a bit, yeah.
Okay, maybe the guy I saw in the park was a referee.
Yeah.
In which case, good luck, mate.
But it doesn't...
Maybe not in the park where there's people coming the other way, diving left and right to stay 2 meters.
It doesn't feel sustainable, though, does it, the running backwards?
No.
But, yeah, nice hot day. I did my...
You did a sweaty run the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, I did my kind of...
Silver Linings Playbook trip.
Yeah, I drank too much on Friday. I had a Zoom quiz with mates, preceded by... an art class hosted by a mate who's an art teacher, and I surprisingly enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite being really rubbish at art, it was just because I knew everyone in it really, really, really well.
Yeah,
like super well, and so there was no kind of decorum, and it was much. It was actually okay. I quite enjoyed it.
Also, I think that's funny that what you were saying about London and nightlife and oh, sorry, you go.
Go for it, mate.
Is that in other countries, I remember that being a weird thing, like back in the day, touring around in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
The way, there's just no equivalent of going to the pub at all.
Right.
Like no, like language, you know, when you can look for a word
in another
language and it just doesn't exist.
They just didn't do it, yeah.
And I was trying to work out what everyone did with their time. And it's just hobbies, basically.
Right.
And sometimes they did stuff online. You had a fantastic evening with the guys who bought... They lived very far north. And they were ordering CDs online long before we'd have considered doing it here.
Yeah.
And when they all arrived, they sat down together and had like a listening party, you know?
Right. Nice.
And then I met someone else who did bird watching or cinema clubs.
Yeah.
And really, if you take an activity where... You can't do it right or wrong. It doesn't matter if you win or lose.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's like running.
Yeah, yeah.
For a lot of people, it's just something to share, isn't it?
It was just nice to have a bit of a goof off and have a bit of a laugh and do something a bit different.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was fun. But anyway, I ended up drinking way too much on Friday.
It's good.
Saturday, I went for one of those runs. All right, mate. Where you just hung over all the run.
Yeah.
But to the extent that you don't actually feel the miles.
Absolutely.
I actually really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. It's
rubbish behaviour.
It's really weird how well that works, though.
Yeah, it's odd.
It always makes me think of body mass. It always makes me think of being doing my Saturday job.
Right.
When I was about 16. And I went out on the Friday. And I saw... the sugar cubes.
Yeah.
And I was right down at the front, got mashed against the barrier at the front, had all bruises on my front of my body. I was in a right state. I wasn't even drunk, just tired and physically beaten, you know?
Yeah.
Incredibly late night. And then I crawled out next morning and did my Saturday job. And on the way there, I was just kind of shuddering, thinking, this is going to be a nightmare. It's going to be the worst day of my life. It's a terrible, boring job at the rest of the times, you know? And then at 5:30, it finished.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes you realise that just damping down your higher function
can
really make things easier.
You can just float through. I mean, I realised I did, I ran about 5.5-6 miles. I didn't feel it at all.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a leisurely stroll. I really enjoyed it, but...
Oh, look at that poppy.
Nice.
The new growth of poppies after the etc.
But it's not... It's obviously not to be encouraged.
No. But it is part of running, isn't it? It's worth noting.
It seems to be part of our running.
It certainly
is. Yeah, it seems to be part of our running. And then on Sunday I went on a long run. Longish. I did about 12 and I really enjoyed it.
Was that when you were sweating?
Yeah, that was when I got a real sweat and I got my bin bag top on and just sweated horrendously.
Shame we haven't got a photo that people can say, is that a leather jacket?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real... it's a bit of a sight for sore eyes, that one.
And you look good. I mean, we both need a shave.
Yes, yeah.
I'm a bit disappointed because at one point during the lockdown, I felt I was very sharp. You know, I had a really good haircut.
Right.
Right now, I look a bit like someone's... A bit like Velcro. Someone's rubbed my head against the rough surface.
In the same way, I think lockdown psychologically amplifies what you are. It kind of physically amplifies what you are, doesn't it? And if you're getting grey, then you really go grey in lockdown.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know... Mark Ruffalo on Graham Norton the other day said he went grey acting twins.
Right.
In that new drama.
I'd like to see that one, yeah. See you loads of people out and about.
Yeah. Doing all kinds of exercise.
Yeah.
In bras.
Yeah, stretching in bras.
That's what I'm doing. Bending, just to be clear, we suddenly started sort of mumbling, but there is a woman over there doing some serious stretching in what is... I don't think it's a sports bra, I think it's just a bra.
Right. One of my
But you know, you've got to get the exercise, and that's the important thing.
Lunging and lounging.
Yeah. Coming down Hackney Marshes.
Yeah.
It reminds me, I had a message the other day from Clive Tuller. Do you know Clive?
Clive.
He works in TV.
Right.
Older than us.
Right.
I met him at Hackney Marshes parkrun.
Yeah.
And he messaged me the other day. And the reason he got in touch is because of my book.
Right.
His dad wrote a book. His dad was Bruce Tuller.
Yes, of course. I know Bruce Tuller. What, the runner?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Bruce Tuller.
And he was saying about how they reprinted his book.
Wow.
Which is what's called 4 million steps, 4 million footsteps.
Right, okay.
Because he ran after, you know, being like an absolute top runner and kind of in the athletic sporting.
Yes, yeah.
He went and ran thousands of miles across America.
He ran across America, yeah, fantastic, yeah. He used to run barefoot, didn't he, old Tuller?
Yeah, he's the original.
I'll have to give him a...
So we'll have to put together...
I'll have to look at that.
I think Bruce is no longer with us, but maybe we should get together Rob La Run.
Yeah.
Who did a lovely Scouse guy we met at the run show who retraced Forrest Gump steps. Of course, Forrest Gump didn't do it because he was fictional. But Rob did.
Yes.
Need to get Rob and Clive together.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I really want to read 4 Million Footsteps.
No, I'll have a look at that one. Yeah,
Clive was there, you know, as a... he was a kid. You know, so they were out there on tour.
Following his dad around the little minivan. Yeah.
Listening to Nancy Sinatra.
Yeah, yeah.
Who in turn would have been singing, "These boots are made for walking."
Yeah.
And then Bruce would have said, "No boots, thanks.
I'm not wearing them.
Who will wear the boots?" It's just incredible, isn't it? That smell of flowers and sound of the birds singing and the sun shining. Look.
If only we had some races to prepare for. It does make you wish for some, though, doesn't it?
Talking of your art, have you been watching Grayson's Art Club?
I haven't, no. Have you been watching that one?
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's got that
energy
of something that is very of the now.
Yeah.
And directly addresses the current situation. But, in a totally... open, upbeat kind of...
It's a very...
non-socio-political way. But equally, if it wasn't now, the show would still exist.
It's got a very inclusive style, hasn't it,
Grayson? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's right on point about what art is for, how it can help people, how whatever art you do, you're ultimately making a picture of yourself.
Yes.
And your perspective, you know. And him and Philippa Perry... Just the really nice people to spend time with, you know.
What are they, husband and wife team, is it?
Yeah,
what,
yeah.
Right. So there's a bit of trading going on there, because they brought the...
Do you want to go into the corner? Let's go to the corner.
Cool. They brought the footballers back, haven't they, today? They've started training again.
Yeah. So what's the football situation in general?
They are... Well, after spending months desperately trying to pad... Five live commentary, and every game that's ever been played has been exhaustively analysed. They've started playing some new games in German football and televising them behind closed doors with no fans.
Yeah.
And they're just assessing the situation. It's a really weird one.
Yeah.
I think with that one, I'd be nervous about that.
Yeah.
Just because of the close quarters with the players, it's a bit of a tough ask for the... I'm quite on the cavalier end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
In terms of going out, meeting people in parks. Just, you know, I just am.
Yeah.
But I still won't participate in close contact sport.
No, no.
And that's what football is.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So you can't, so you either test
and that's before, you know, sooner or later, you know, people are going to want to, behind closed doors it's all good and everything, but that's such a weird situation, isn't it?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And sooner or later, thousands of people are going to want to pile in and watch it. In a way, like we were saying, even when the self-same people might be saying, no, I'm not going to bother going to the cinema or the comedy club or theatre, but I'll go and see my
team. I mean, you can keep fans out of a stadium, but it kind of removes football from its context and locality.
Yeah.
To me, it sort of renders it meaningless.
Yeah.
And I love football, but without the fans and where it's at, you've got a home game at Anfield, you go to Anfield, and it's different. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like,
but I've been resisting the urge all along to be culturally stereotype Germany and say, we have always wanted to play behind locked doors. It makes things much more straightforward.
It's interesting they've done it, but one team has had to be in quarantined already.
They're kind of a quarantine.
Yeah, three players had it.
I really can't believe I did a little bit of wordplay there before I knew if anyone had like died or anything.
Yeah. Oh, no, they haven't. No, but it's like,
in that case, let's have a pandemic, etc. Yeah.
But it's... and some players are saying, do you know what? My kid's high risk. I don't want to go and play football.
No,
and I totally get that. You know,
yeah. Well, that takes us back towards the whole framing of the conversation around schools and teachers and stuff. You know,
yeah,
which is no fun. So that's once round.
That's once, yeah.
But that's it is. Nice. It's a very nice, and just in terms of our different perspectives, like you say, it's not really nice at your masters because it's just so much room. But it's just loads of people here, so you do feel like you're part of something.
Yeah.
But the opposite of what you're saying about football, you can be part of something.
Yes.
Whilst literally saying 30 feet away from
everything. Well, I was running around Highgate Wood the other day, and you've got that. You have got the collision of some people comfortable, some people not, some people on edge, some people not, whatever. Everyone's gone through a different trajectory to this, haven't they? And they're going through it at different stages for different reasons. I stopped and chatted to a mate who was waiting to meet some people in the park. And he had his dog, and his dog was off the lead.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks ago, dogs weren't allowed off the lead.
Yeah.
And now they are. And some people are okay with that, and some people aren't.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, what do you do with that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like...
It's the opposite, and the thing is, it's to do with lowest common denominator, isn't it? The people who are the most relaxed are going to get to govern the situation, because the people who are the least relaxed, they're doing the least. You know, they're probably in their houses, and if they're out, they're like, oh... You know what I mean? It's the same as when someone at a comedy gig says, do you want to hear offensive jokes?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, the people in the audience who do will go, hooray! And the people who don't, in the audience who don't, will just keep their mouths shut. And the next thing that happens is the comedian tells the offensive jokes and the people who didn't want to hear them have to hear them.
Yes. Yeah, but there is... There's a difference, though. If you're allowed to have your dog off the leash,
yeah,
and you're scared of that, really scared of that, that's just one of the complexities of the situation. There's no wrong to having your dog off the leash.
Yeah.
Do you think? I mean, what's the?
Well, it depends. I think that it's complicated. Then they're sort of saying you can have your dog off your leash, so your dog gets a proper walk, but we're assuming you're going to be nice to other people in the park and socially distance and stuff, and then loads of people will.
Yeah.
And then some other people won't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And their dogs will be going right up to people, and then they'll say, oh, sorry, can you watch out for your dog? I can't get past them, whatever. And then those people are going, shut up. You know, literally, those people are there. The guy, you know.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The guy I had a row with in the shop came at me by the fridge, and I went, whoa, 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 because, you know, he got closer to me than anyone had for a long time.
Yes.
And he's like, whoa, 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 you know, he's wanted to beat me up.
Yeah.
Because I asked him not to walk straight at me from a foot away.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, and these are...
I think...
He didn't have his dog on the lead, he wasn't in the park, but you see the link.
I think it's very... locality specific. I think supermarkets are more dangerous than parks.
That's true.
And I think a dog...
But I wouldn't be comfortable in Clesel Park.
I think a dog off the leash is way less of a risk to you. It just is, numerically, statistically, on every metric.
Yeah, yeah.
Than a bloke who's, you know, 20 inches away from your face by a fridge.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like... Yeah. But it's going to be tricky to get the balance right.
Well, I don't think there's any balance.
It's going to be hard, and it's going to be hard to...
I think it's lockdown or not, and they're just trying to absolve themselves of responsibility. And fair enough, it's the way they want to go. But if things get bad again, you know, if there's a big spike, then it'll all come back again, and it will, you know what I mean? It won't necessarily ease and go.
Yeah.
Because no one knows what's going to happen next.
No, they don't. No, they don't. They don't. Yeah, it's sort
but it's
of
a funny thing, like we say, just time passing, 8 weeks. It's been good running. I think everyone has enjoyed running. Got people who carried on running, people who had injuries who are now saying, I finally get to run.
Yes.
You know, people taking part in virtual events, people just doing their thing.
Yes.
Combining running with serious shielding and social distancing, like self-isolation, like Kevin.
Yes, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it's so great that people can do that and finding ways of doing that.
Yeah, it's actually been healthy for me, actually, because it's been a sort of period where I could just get back into consistent mileage without pushing it.
Yeah,
strengthen my body. You've got some people like a lad called Liam McIntyre, who's a friend of the show, and I've met him a couple of times out running by chance.
Yeah.
He put in like a sort of consecutive series of 100-mile weeks.
Yeah.
You got those people who've just got to fully embrace the inner extremist. You know,
that's right, because it's your run, isn't it? This is the time.
Yes. Yeah.
But equally, like you say, you know, I think that despite your innate running skills and your strong training plans, I think you're still a hungry runner. And one of the last times, it's a bit unnecessary, isn't it?
He's just that's going just cycling randomly as quickly as he can in sort of completely irrational turning circle.
I think he's come up with a lap.
Yeah,
and up and down between goals.
Yeah,
the way it looked like for us is like I was going to cycle there.
Well, I was in a
breaking it.
I was in a constant cycle of getting injured.
Well, I was just thinking about when we were here, we did that long run.
Yeah.
And you were like, it feels all right, but I'm going to, you know, and then pulling up in that park run. It was, you just, your fitness meant that you couldn't resist pushing the injury.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's so reasonable, but
my body had other ideas.
And this time has helped, it's much more healthier for that situation, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to gigging again, but I'm quite enjoying spending time with my family on the weekend, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I quite enjoy Friday night not having to drive to Nottingham or wherever.
Yeah, absolutely.
But by the same token, I'm really missing it as well.
Yeah. Well, I think ultimately, like you say, the truth of who we actually are comes out. I would love to spend 20 to 45 minutes on stage.
Yes.
Making a room full of people laugh.
Yeah.
But also, and I'd probably have a nice time.
Thank you.
Being off in another town, having a, doing a park run and stuff.
Yes, yeah.
But
yeah,
I would not enjoy being away from my family for 36 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I wouldn't enjoy being on a train or a motorway.
No.
But do you find yourself missing specific kind of geographical things? Like, sometimes there's obvious ones. Like yesterday I was outside, my feet, bare feet on the paving stones on my sort of backyard.
Yeah.
I just felt like I was on the beach.
Right.
It's like, oh, imagine walking into the sea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had a big wave earlier this week. I just had a wave of Glasgow. I was just thinking, oh, yeah,
just
Glasgow.
I really wanted to go to Glasgow.
And run along the side of the Clyde.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Run along Kelvin Grove to the River Kelvin up to the Botanic Gardens. Go to that vegan pub.
Nice.
Do the Glee Club or the Stand.
Go back to the hotel that makes you want to top yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
3 days alone, just you and the walls.
Walk into that Cafe Nero and have a row with that bloke with his hand down his trousers.
Wait to go on while the local compere absolutely renders it unplayable before introducing you.
But yeah, it all came back. It's like a feeling. You know, you wouldn't think that something so nuanced and not quite as... It makes sense to miss the top of a mountain or a seaside beach. Yeah, well, but I felt the same way about a whole city and all my experiences there.
Well, that run we had in Edinburgh seems a long time ago, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In the summer, wasn't that glorious?
Yes.
That was really nice.
In the summer, what were you thinking when we went up? Because the last one we did before Christmas.
Was that it? Was that all right?
Yeah, we were there like on December 21st.
Nice, nice.
I'm running up Arthur's seat, chatting to that footballer on the way up there.
Yeah.
Me falling over. I fell over brilliantly. Do you remember that?
Yes, that was a great fall.
Slip and wham. Whoosh, like that.
I've had a couple of tumbles.
I'm just falling over.
I've had some real... Well, look, have you seen my...
Is that from when you tripped over those dogs?
Yeah, well, that's what... And then I went again as well.
Photo. Show me the elbow. I need a photo opportunity. I need a shot of redemption. I mean, I can see that from 2 metres away.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I think you're quite vulnerable when you see people in the distance walking towards you.
Yeah.
You think, right, I'm going to stop now. Where can I dart to one side to open up some space?
Yeah.
And it's in those moments that you're quite vulnerable to a kind of...
A bingo.
To a stray root or a branch or a, you know...
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And then... And not only that, you sort of feel a bit... They feel embarrassed because you threw yourself headlong into the ground in an attempt to save them.
Yeah.
You feel embarrassed because you didn't do it very well. Just the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
Collapses.
I just haven't been that close to anyone.
Yeah.
I would have been sort of climbed half up a wall, 30 feet away, just giving a dirty look till everyone had gone. So I've really enjoyed finding these new runs, because I haven't been going to, you know, Highbury Field and Clitheroe Park.
Right.
Are too busy for me.
Right.
Towpaths and the Parkland Walk, places where you can't get out into the space next to them.
Yeah.
I've been avoiding. So, and as we talked about when we were recording remotely, I've had some lovely leafy runs around Hackney and Islington's kind of poshest streets.
Yes.
Connecting Canterbury and De Beauvoir Town. And then I've also got really into basically here in Victoria Park, because they're enormous.
Yes.
It's much easier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I've found... It took me a while to get to Victoria Park, because I would have gone along the towpath. I couldn't do that. But I found a route. And got these new runs, and I really like them. And they're very outside and very spring-like. And they're just naturally a bit longer.
Oh, well, that's good.
So my usual run...
So you find yourself...
...has become a little bit slower and a bit more kind of 8-9 miles, rather than a maybe I'll go as fast as I can 7, you know?
Well, you're going to get a bit stronger, aren't you? Yeah, I think so. For a while, you're going to get a bit. You're going to get gradually stronger without much more effort.
That's right, and I think that it's always really nice to balance that up with a fast five on a Saturday.
Yeah,
because
and you said you had a bit of a disappointing fast five this weekend.
Yeah, only because it's been going well. You know,
right?
I've been hitting fairly steadily, hitting sort of 640, 650 miles.
Yeah,
and. He says, jumping from kilometres to miles in the natural, unnatural way. And then this weekend, it was one of those ones I was a little bit too aware.
Right.
You'll find that, you know what you were saying about running high over, or just, I don't know, running later on in the event when you're tired. Sometimes I feel like my brain is not my friend.
Right.
You know, kind of set off and think, oh, here we go, I'm running, oh, this is hard.
I can feel
my legs hitting the ground. Shut up, brain.
Yeah, just a bit
one of those.
Too aware of the effort that you're putting in, sort of. Thing.
Yeah, a bit too
no
conscious.
To yeah.
Mindful in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I remember that from that big, tough marathon I did last summer.
Yeah.
I just never unlocked.
The towpath.
Early or... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Early or late. I never had a section of that where I kind of forgot myself, you know?
Yes.
Sometimes you just can't...
That's what...
Can't do that. Can't access that.
I mean, I think that gets a bit harder.
Going by the building.
Yeah, I think that gets a bit harder as you get older.
Yeah.
And I think it's... Because it takes me about... Someone tweeted about this, actually, last couple of days. It takes me about 25, 30 minutes on a normal run to just feel normal and flowing. It just takes me that long. And that's why... That's why when you're doing a 5K, that's why the warm-up's so important.
Yeah.
On a park run, like, I'll get here half an hour earlier. I'll jog a slow mile.
Yeah.
I'll do some stretching. I'll jog a bit more. It's just, if I just ran it just off nothing, it just took me ages to just get into the groove, you know.
I kind of use the park run to get that groove. So,
and
the other thing I do, just in terms of the mental thing, is that's what music does.
Yeah.
You know, the first song... In the same way that it can still do it 25 miles into a marathon, the right song is like a light switch.
Right.
It's like, there's my head where I need it to be.
Yeah, and off we
go, you know. But that, as we know, is a specific relationship. You know, someone else would, that would be absolute anathema to them. It's what you're doing listening to a song. You're out for a run. But it's nice about the fast 5K. Even talking to you now, because I was quite disappointed on Saturday. But now I'm thinking, I'd be all right next week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I also think that it would be nice to go, obviously, it's going to be great to go back to parkrun.
Yes,
if and when that goes ahead. But
it will be really nice, yeah.
It's going to be great. And I think specifically the two things I'm going to love about it. One, just that distraction of being there. I think I'll be really strong from doing it on my own.
Yes.
Just to have a bit of blooming, some guy ropes down, some scaffolding around that.
Just
you know?
people around you.
And the other thing is, mixing it up.
Yeah.
I think part of my problem this Saturday was, however many weeks.
You're doing the
probably
same thing.
The six Saturday running, I've run the same, the same route. Which has got laps.
Yeah.
You know. And it works a treat because, as I'm saying with everything else, it's really easy to avoid people on it.
I think I
get to avoid them and they get to avoid me.
I think the park runs will be massive. I think it'll be great because you get all the people used to run the park runs. And I think there'll be, hopefully, maybe 20, 30% more people as well.
Well, the thing is about people finding running is, one, the lockdown has led people to it.
Yeah.
Two, I think culturally it's been having a kind of long-form blossoming moment for a few years now.
Yes, yeah.
Because I feel like there's certainly more people doing it than when I started.
Yeah.
And three, there's just always that percentage of people who think, oh, I'll go for a run. And literally now, they'll never not do it.
Yes, yeah.
It's available as an addiction for a part of the society,
and also,
it?
And also, looking forward as well. People aren't going to want to be obese.
Well, that too.
Anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's going to be a big pushback against that.
Yeah. Really big pushback.
Really big pushback, yeah.
I don't want to be a big pushback anymore.
Yeah. I've people got very excited about me going on Strava will be disappointed to know I still haven't got my Garmin charger sorted.
It was absolutely hilarious. But I think what it was at Grayson Perry's Art Club, the people, and when I say people, men who heard the episode last week, not just heard it last week, but heard it on the day it came out on last Thursday.
Yeah.
Us having run on, what, Monday? And then by Thursday evening, we're like, I've been on Strava, but I can't see Paul on there. It's like, do you know him at all? Even without the Garmin charger thing. That's just ridiculous.
It's going to be a slow process. But I will get on it. It could be a bit of an odyssey. Expect some sort of ceremony when I enter the world of Strava. And I'll tell you one thing, I won't be on every day.
But no, well, a couple of people said that, didn't they? There's been some good.
Nice
actually,
thing,
thank
actually.
You to
let me just check this. I just yanked my own chain.
Have a look
chain.
At it. I'll take some pictures of you yanking your own chain in the woods. Oh no, I won't do that.
No, it seems fine.
Still
seems
good.
Fine.
Stay yeah, here. He is. Look, that's fine. Paul Tonkinson in the wild. So good to witness one. It's amazing how nature has developed this year. And that. See if I can get my arm 2 meters away from me. I was able to get this close to him. Look. Imagine that.
it's
interesting. Thanks to everyone who got back and said about it, because they said, and we can keep this conversation going. I mean, there's a slight ridiculousness to it because neither of us are on Strava or really know anything about it.
We don't know what we're on about.
So it's really good to get some takes.
Yeah.
And some people saying, you know, obviously people saying, love it, great. Look forward to seeing you on there. One person said that they used to really love it and they just caught themselves kind of obsessing like anything really, and
of
I don't
course,
think this
yeah.
is a criticism yeah, of Strava yeah. It's more life. It kind of has a corollary with my Saturday 5Ks is you just got to be careful not to start using something to beat something to beat yourself up with.
That's
what Ed Gamble was saying, that wasn't he?
Yeah,
he's saying anything you set yourself you could end up being horrible to yourself about.
And
that was someone who led to a few people saying that you don't have to, it doesn't all have to be public.
Yeah, you can do it private and then share what you want to, which I imagine is the direction I'll be taking.
Yeah.
Basically, the fast stuff I'll be sharing, and then the really slow stuff every now and again I might share just for the laugh of it, because I don't think people will believe how slowly I run sometimes.
Well, I think
it's like...
Yeah, but it's healthy, isn't it? I mean, that's good running.
Yeah.
But it is strange to some of us, it's true.
Yeah.
But I think that also... you know, you won't want to let go, and you wouldn't want to let go. No one else would want you to let go of the fact that you're someone who genuinely, you know, you wouldn't, the same way you wouldn't take headphones, you know, you don't...
I like to run fast.
You like to, well, you like to run unencumbered.
Yeah.
You know, like when Paul comes to my house and we run, he leaves his car key and his phone at my house.
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
That's what
And
I
then
like.
Unfortunately, I kind of shove them aside and then reach round, strap a bum bag round his New Balance shorts.
Yes.
Put a leather jacket on him.
And we're off. And sweat it out. Sweat the sin out. This weather...
That was a little bit... Sweat the sin out. Yeah. There was a weird truth there. That was strange.
Yeah.
He hasn't been to church for a few weeks, guys.
This weather disturbs me a bit because my son is just... He's just getting drunk in parks all the time with his mates.
Yeah, right.
When it's hot, and I'm just like, I quite like it if you didn't do that all the time.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but it's sunny. I'm like,
yeah.
Does that necessarily have to mean that?
Yeah, no, my wife and daughter went for a walk yesterday, and...
they probably saw them, did they?
Well, they just saw loads of... Probably, you know, your son's age and a bit older.
Yeah.
But younger than us.
Yeah.
People just hanging around having kind of a...
Having
garden parties.
Having gatherings, yeah.
Either gathering with the people from the house or socially distanced curb parties.
Yes,
basically, you know, having a little sort of mini street festival type garden, impromptu garden parties. It's like, it was kind of 4:30 on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of think... It's fair enough, but if everyone's doing it, I mean, but then why not? That's the trouble.
Well,
if you're at home and you've got
the
people drinking, it's like we've been saying. I mean, I spent, it's hard to imagine now, but at the beginning of the year, I didn't drink for weeks.
Yeah.
Weeks on end, and I didn't even think about it.
Yes.
But in the current climate, you think, well, of course,
it was.
I'm going to have a kettle of lager.
The timing of... of all this was, it was awful, really, because you just got past the beginning of the year where you try to make plans, but it's a little bit chaotic and slightly miserable.
Yeah,
you just sort of blinked out of sort of mid-February.
Yeah,
you were just starting to fly off into the year, weren't you? Yeah. You were just starting to spread your wings, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the corona just.
Well, I don't know. I think you're absolutely right. I think that's entirely true. But if I look at myself with clear eyes,
yes,
I think that one good thing is that I found it really disappointing that it hit just as kind of it was time to taper. But
right.
This attempt to kind of hold fitness and not really think about it in terms of running events is really healthy.
Right.
And he says, the last thing having been, I'm pretty much drinking as much as I can. But there is, it's all about balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then...
See, that bloke looked like he wanted to punch us.
Yeah.
Just because...
Well, it's because we're running.
Because we're running and laughing and recording ourselves.
No, but you're already thinking about it too hard. Runners are the bad guys. You don't have to do anything bad. For some people, runners are the bad guys.
I think it's awful, that.
It's really awful.
I mean, it's also really bad science. It's just really
unresearched. No, it doesn't make any sense.
Nonsense.
And I think if I was out in the park with a lady so happy to just be in a bra,
yeah,
I'd be jolly.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Just cheer up, mate.
Because he was with the aforementioned. Ooh,
he looks, he looked like we owed him money and he'd been paid to get it back.
But equally, you see... The other thing is they were going on the path across and we were going on the path along. He could just have been scared. Yeah, we're all going to get there at the same time.
It's all manifestations of fear. It's fair enough. Exactly. I try not to judge anyone. Because
he didn't know we were going to make sure we'd get our... he's three times around as
well, isn't he?
Let's go left.
So you were saying about the looking
didn't
after...
didn't know that we're going to run straight at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one... You know, what was once a... Oh, no, I don't get to do my marathons has now become a new relationship with fitness.
Yeah.
And two, I don't know, I think I was quite lost. I think that, I don't know, obviously we're in the middle of it, no one knows what's going to happen next in life, but I feel like I was trying to get some things going, doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Right.
I had a bad agent.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Still
yeah.
working through
yeah.
The emotions connected. Not just with my dad dying, but sort of starting from there.
Yes.
And I think that, incredibly selfishly, I need this chrysalis, because I'm going to come out of it a beautiful butterfly.
Well, that's an interesting... that's an interesting run-com-pod confession. I will say that you like to... From a distance, it feels like you don't... You like to drive yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
Like you're out of one thing, you're into another. You're out of one event, you're into... But that's only because it's different to me. You're normally building to something, or quick recovery, and then back to building.
Yeah.
Whereas I just float and then really go for something and then don't for like another year or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
We're just a bit different in that respect. You drive yourself a bit harder, it seems to me.
Yeah, I don't...
It's fair, unfair?
I don't know. I don't think... It's not unfair.
Right.
I just don't see... I always feel like when I'm training to something, that's me weaving what I'd be doing anyway around. You know, I think, oh, good, I'm training for something.
Yes.
I can do the the exercise. Not, oh, no, I have to do the exercise.
Right,
I'm training for something. It's not that way around, you know?
Right.
But I think that... it's nice to have the justification to give it... Really, when it comes down to it, I would say that all my behaviours... Good and bad, lockdown and otherwise, but the thing that the current situation has thrown into sharp relief is I seek control.
Right, yes.
You know, and life is chaos.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I get that.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to control my little corner of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that is, I mean, obviously, this is a really obvious time to see that about yourself.
Yes, yeah,
because
yeah.
Because everyone is looking for that. They're looking for the answer. And no one knows what it is, and that's specifically and topically true, and true in life in general.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I had a sort of I think I had a tipping point. Everyone's gone through this different trajectories with all this. I started off like everyone else. I had a lot of fear and trying to control elements.
Yeah,
and I realised that with three. I mean, one teenager and two young adults.
Yeah.
it was going to be really difficult. And we had some huge rows early on.
Yeah.
Where they literally just ran out of the house.
Yeah.
And then you don't know where they are, then they come back, and then it's just like really tense.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't, I just had to let go. And because I had to let go, I had to get more comfortable with it all.
With a lack of control.
Yeah, with a lack of control. And then, yeah, and I thought...
You thought about other societies.
Yeah, I thought about other societies where there's just more risk. There's more risk in those societies. There's more danger.
Yeah.
And yet they still continue to function. They still go about their business.
If anything, they find it easier to be relaxed.
Yeah, because
they're used to a constant threat.
Yeah.
And people do get used to things.
That's interesting. That's an interesting point, actually. And it also combined with the fact I was out and about doing charity work and putting myself in slightly risky scenarios anyway. Yeah. I just had to relax with it.
Well, it's interesting what you're saying about people in different societies, because I think that's definitely something, again, a conversation that's really relevant now, but is also always true, is the way people are with children, little children, not like your near grown-ups or even my teenagers,
kids.
It's very reasonable that people in the UK who've kind of been thrown in with their little kids going, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
They're so tired, they're so tiring. Yeah. Let's try and give them a good experience. And yet, think about other societies where the kids are kind of off the leash and they're less safe. It's harder to keep them fed.
Yes, yeah.
But
yeah,
you'd
yeah.
be like, oh, I love my children. Where are they today?
Yeah.
You know, and they would never go, oh, damn it. I've got to spend a morning with my But it's just different.
There's loads going on with that.
It's all reasonable.
Because I've been chatting to people about kids going back to school and stuff, and everyone has different opinions. And I had a different relationship with my kids when they were under 10. You know, I felt way more protective of them than I do now.
Yeah.
Of course, I always feel protective of my kids. But there's a limit to your control, and they don't want you to control them. It's over.
No.
Well, they get to 18, 19, it's over. But if my kid was 7, I'd feel different.
It was kind of obvious, but you said it to... But it was you who pointed it out to me. That from the moment your children are born, they're growing away from you.
Yes. Yeah.
And so if you take a snapshot, if you get comparison at any stage... lockdown or not, you can see that happening.
Yeah. So it's
put very simply, you've got young adults doing what they want, and yet not old enough for you to go, yeah, they're good at that.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, like, I'm in a stage now with George. It's like he's out, he's drunk. Not as we speak, but probably later today.
Yeah.
He hasn't got a key. I don't know when he's coming back.
They say he's out. Where is he?
He's out with his mates in parks.
Yeah.
Just lounging around.
And do they keep away from each other or anything?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it. Yeah. But if you look at the risk for their age group, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're coming back and going to snog grandma.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're not mixing with vulnerable people.
Yeah.
And some kids aren't. Some kids who live with vulnerable people aren't. They're not going out.
Yeah.
It's a very localised.
Well, it's to do
thing,
with,
isn't it?
With yeah,
your
that's
experience,
right.
You know.
Well, people's individual experience.
Yes,
people live
absolutely.
In small tribes and they don't, you know. There's no emotional precedent for mapping a link between you and a old person you don't know.
Yeah, that's
why would people think that way? Even if there was a connection, which there probably isn't.
That's what makes it so hard to... That's what makes it so hard to govern, is it? We were chatting about it before we started the record. We're currently in a society where you can't go and see your grandma around her house, but you can employ her as a cleaner, and then she could come around your house.
Yeah.
And that's a kind of economic argument, whatever. But whatever it is, it's absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
You know.
And like you say, it's absurd. Sometimes it's absurd in a way where you think they've definitely done that wrong. But in another way, it should be recognised that it's just plain absurd.
Yeah, it's
there's no way around the surreal preposterousness of this situation.
It's incredibly complex. We've never had this before.
No.
We don't know anything about it.
Well, rather, I think in some ways, we have had it before. This is a complicated argument that I've
go on, then.
Laid out a couple of times. I don't think that this emergency squares with human experience, like in the way even terrible emergencies, like I don't know, Krakatoa,
right,
or a world war,
yeah,
or the tsunami. You know, these are terrible things.
Yeah,
but people get them. They get the shape of them. They understand what happened. They understand the tragedy of it. They know what they're going to do next. Whereas, this, the whole framework of this problem does not square with civilization.
Yeah.
Because you haven't got power over it. You can't fight it like an army, you know, and so on. And I think that, obviously we can respond, but yeah. I think this shape and the rhythm of it is really slippery for individuals and governments. And I think that's why, the reason I thought of this now is because we've never had this before. I think this kind of thing happens every now and again, one way or another. But nothing in society really changes, because what would you change?
Yeah.
You know, once some of your peeps, the plague just fades away of its own accord in the 17th century. Samuel Pepys got on with his life.
Yes.
Spanish flu in 1918.
Yeah.
This is a terrible thing. It's killed more people than the war. Oh, well.
Yeah.
On we go, you know, because
society has evolved in a way that we actually like it, to a greater or lesser degree.
Yeah, that's right.
But the thing is about war or...
And it develops like nature. It's not, you can't just say, well, we'd better change everything
we'll stop
completely.
That. But the thing is about war and tsunamis and stuff is, you know how to respond to those as a community.
Yeah.
But this has... has reduced us to our old, to our own atomized individuality. We fight it together, apart.
I think it's bad timing for modern society as well, because people are quite individualized anyway in the Western world, in the internet era. You know.
Yeah. But they're also individualized, but also aware of how interconnected they are as well.
That's right. Everyone knows everyone else. Everyone knows everyone else's business.
And thank God for the internet through this, with people, is, you know, however imperfect, Zooming and house party or whatever.
Oh yeah,
it's Zoom is an awful
enormous.
Lot of people.
Zoom is enormous, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is to us what powdered eggs were to the people in Second World War.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. They're actually putting me up to host some kind of Zoom quiz for a company. I mean, right. I don't know if I'm going to get it. The money's quite good, actually.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
It's only got that, because the problem with Zoom is it's only got one audio feed, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Per Zoom, so only one person can be heard at the same time.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll give them your number. But it's just very disembodied, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it kind of works well with the arts, because it's a kind of visual thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right in the line with the stand-up, you know, because we all want to be working, want to be doing things, and it's very artificial. With me, I'll say, yeah, I'll do that, because it's just slightly different to stand-up.
Yeah.
But not so much that people would perceive a difference.
Yeah.
And then someone else comes along with a gig, and I say, oh, no, I don't want to do that, I'm not comfortable with that. You know, and it's so very, I doubt I could even explain it to myself, let alone to the people I might be working for.
There's a guy in the industry who put an advertisement for comics to gig at a drive-in comedy show.
Yeah.
And they're gonna put sound feeds into each car.
Yeah.
And he said normally you'd have hundreds of responses to this, because, you know, the supply-demand thing is so skewed in favour of people running gigs that you've got hundreds of comics, you know, applying for each gig. But this time he had about 15.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's the problem? What is the problem? I don't really want to do that yet.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's lots of problems. I think that one... I don't think, you know, no comedians are getting in their car and driving hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
So he is drawing from a much smaller pool.
The gig's in Preston.
Yeah, that's right. And then secondly, like you say, there's just a fundamental, it's a lockdown, I'm more comfortable staying in, which is, it's just not an opinion you hear as often as the can't wait for this to be over or I want to get out. But lots of people are thinking it, you know. And then the third and final thing in this case is, I don't know where that idea started from, and I'm assuming it started in America. The thing about the drive-in comedy gig, it would work so much better if we'd ever had drive-ins.
Yeah.
But you're inventing the drive-in.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
I mean, to be honest, I'm quite keen to get out and about. I don't really mind that. I just don't want to be stood in front of loads of cars.
Yeah.
In a car park. Taking the mickey out of the Audi in the second row, you know.
Yeah, I think the fact that we didn't have drive-ins is the thing. You know, it's like when people get nostalgic for things we didn't have, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's American. We didn't.
Yeah.
I was there. It didn't exist.
Yeah. So this is nice. What's your week looking like, Rob? What's happening?
What's this week? Well, I'm
in
writing.
In terms of, like, running and whatever.
I'm really enjoying writing the book, Running Tracks.
Yeah.
Wonderful runs, listening to beautiful songs. I think I got myself title nice. Wrong there.
Right.
Which is now 40% funded by people pledging.
Good.
If that's you, dear listener, thank you
that's
so
great.
Much. It's been so lovely. The response has been brilliant. And, I mean, it's weird if we're talking open, emotionally confessional.
Yeah.
I found I really like fundraising for Parkinson's UK. I've always found it to be a good thing, a good way of processing that happening to my dad.
Yeah.
And it goes right back to him doing that. I mean, really, I think that's exactly the same mindset. When he was first diagnosed, he started volunteering for the charity, you know, virtually that day.
Right.
So it's as much his commitment to the charity as his Parkinson's that set me on that road, you know. And then as time went on, I found it more and more difficult. It kind of got so big. He got more and more ill and then died. And I got to £100,000 of Parkinson's. That sort of felt great, but I thought, where does this end?
Where does this go? Yeah.
And then, I sort of tried to move away from it. I thought, I can't move away from it because this is what's happening in my life right now. You know, it's literally beginning of last year. I'm going to think about other things for a while. Although, even then I was saying, but I'll still help with the gig and let's do this and let's do that, you know. And then by the end of the year, Dad had died. And I'm like, well, this is what I need to be relating to right now.
Yes.
Anyway, I say all that because it's so complicated and maybe even unhealthy, but the remove is really nice, you know. I get to be, I'm sad about my dad, and sometimes it comes back in strong waves like it happened a week ago. And I missed the opportunity to run the marathons and make the money for Parkinson's. So it's coming through the book, but I get that that's quite a complicated offer.
Right.
You know, we have to...
Yeah.
It's about running, but it's nothing to do with my running. We have to publish the book and then they get the money. But just got to recognise that that's really healthy for me. One, at the one end, kind of to keep it slightly sort of separate from my own sadness. But at the other end, you know, ultimately, it's me talking about running and music. And if Dad was around, I'd be talking to
He's
him.
In it. Yeah.
So in one way, it's a strange sort of chain of connections.
You might
but
not
in another way, it's exactly
might
what
not
it needs
realize
to be.
Exactly what the book's about. Until you finish writing it.
Yeah,
maybe,
absolutely.
Maybe,
yeah.
I don't know.
No, I'm certainly
finding... Mine certainly changed when I was writing it, you know.
Certainly finding things out as I go.
Yeah.
Which
and
is
that's
the
good.
Wonder
I think
of writing.
That's good.
So
yeah.
Therapeutic.
Yeah.
And also, just healthy in terms of control.
Yeah.
You know, the natural me, the instinctive me, wants to know exactly what I'm going to write before I sit down and write it.
Right.
Which in turn is just one click around the dial from not doing anything at all, you know.
Right.
And then what happens is you sit down... And all that stuff you thought you were going to do, you do. But along the way, you find out new things, don't you?
So yeah, absolutely. So
new notes start coming through in the course.
Are you writing most days then? You try to sit down in the morning for a couple of hours?
I write all week.
Right.
But it's more kind of every day and a half or so. You know what I mean?
Right,
Specifically, if I don't write every day, I let myself off.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah.
Some, I mean, like...
Lots of it's written now.
Some days are like... They're just normal days, aren't they? Because I've been working on this sitcom and I did a few hours on Sunday. It just felt like, it didn't feel like a biggie anymore. It's just melded into one. The sitcom's proving incredibly complicated.
Yeah.
Good fun, but really, just that sort of...
So you're kind of rattling it between, you're writing it with someone and
for someone.
I'm writing
it between someone. We're writing it for Sky. I write a few scenes. I send it to this guy I'm writing with. He sends me a few scenes. We comment, we rewrite, we send it back, we move. It's just sort of... I mean, basically, if we get a commission to write 6 episodes, it's going to take us about 3 years the way we're going. It's so slow because we're just a little bit too micromanagement kind of...
Yeah.
I don't know. We've got different strengths, but we do share a same... sort of perfectionistic / procrastinatory mindset that we need to be aware of. We're going to have to speed up the process if we
get a
commission.
I just thought of the messages we're going to get on Twitter at 5:30 on Thursday afternoon. I'm flicking through the channels looking for Paul's sitcom and it's not on.
Yeah.
He's not on Strava. Yeah. He's not on Sky. It may take a little long.
It may take a while. But it's great fun. I mean, it's brilliant fun, but it can be a bit hard work, you know.
Yeah.
Getting it all together, getting the balance right, the character and the plot and the intricacy of it.
Get the balance right.
What a
Where
great
are you
run.
Parked, by the way?
I'm parked over there, I am.
Ah, well.
Over there, Lee.
See, that was the fact. It's so selfish and so simple. We've hit some big things today, and it's gorgeous out here on Hackney Marshes, and you're locked down and everything. But when it comes down to it, I have come here and run three times around it on my own. And that is a blooming slog.
Yeah.
But coming here with you...
It's much better.
Oh, it soon passes, doesn't it?
It's much better. It's a lot better, yeah.
And also, you know, it's nice in the pictures because there's less focus on your...
My kit.
On your face, and we get a really good close look at mine. It's so nice. Yeah, we want to... What do you think of Paul's clothes this week? I don't want to know!
It's been great. I'm going to do a bit of... I got my long run on Sunday. I'll try and run a bit faster in the week. The main thing is if I can get past Friday without getting smashed.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the main thing.
I don't go many days of that drinking. I've been trying to put a day in. If I have a drink, I'll have a day when I don't.
Right.
Just to break the rhythm, you know.
I'll tweet the other day about it's important to have a system with it to keep control. I've started drinking 2 days off, 342 days on.
that sounds like a fairly accurate rendition of the situation.
Yeah. I'm not drinking much this week, but it's like it's getting through that Friday thing. And when I drink, I just drink and drink and drink. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's the trouble. When it comes down to it, me and you, we're greedy for experience. We're not dabblers. I'm going to have a drink. Hey, what are you going to have? I'm going to have all the lager.
I'm going to have... Well, no, Friday we had half a bottle of Prosecco, and then I did two bottles of wine on top of that. Got to bed at 3:30, saw The Irishman for the fourth time.
Wow. That's long.
It's three and a half hours.
I'm surprised you fit that into the lockdown.
Well, no, it's 3.5 hours. So if you start watching it at 12:30 drunk, that's a very dangerous situation.
Well,
you know, because it's like...
I don't know,
it's
falling asleep in a chair. Is that really... I've got to take a picture of your T-shirt. I've just realised the North has spoken. That's glorious, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lovely T-shirt. Yeah.
Where's it from?
It's from the Toronto Raptors basketball team. I bought it in Toronto.
It's a shame it's not the North, isn't
it? It's a shame it's not the North, but it seems like the North, doesn't it? It's a great T-shirt.
Feels like.
So listen, the drinking
you were saying about, it's that thing of being greedy for experience. I did my plank yesterday.
Yeah.
I said to my wife, I'm going longer now. I'm doing more than 5 minutes. And she said, oh, really? How long now? I'm like, it's infinite.
Right.
It's infinite now. It did. I'm not going beyond 5 minutes. It just feels so long. It's just like forever.
What do you do when... Do you listen to a tune or do you read or something? Or
I use a song. And very specific. It's got to, A, be long enough. And B, they have to have like verses and choruses.
Right, yeah,
because
I've
got to have a real sense of a climax.
To make you through
I run
to the
an exercise
chorus.
Listening to loads of like dance music and stuff. But when I, for example, a really stupid one that's just great is Freedom 90 by George Michael. I won't let you down.
All right, okay.
We'll not give you up. It's just gets really long.
So he
goes verse, chorus. The chorus has got two halves. Gets to freedom. And then it goes verse. Other bit, chorus, second half of the chorus, and then you get into the middle eight. I'm like, oh, no! But at least George is still going. And
nice.
Then he gets to, looks like the road to heaven. That's what you get. And that's 5 minutes. And I go, poof, on the
brilliant.
Floor. Like that. And then
brilliant.
I did. You've got another 30 down. Seconds of the song. And I stay down. Because if I get up straight away, back of my head hurts. My ears go all fuzzy and I nearly die. So stay down for another 30 seconds. That's my tip.
Dad's exercising. Collapse. Slump.
Definitely doing him loads of good.
Like the
Should we call
an
ambulance? Netflix. Midnight Run is on Netflix.
Yeah, it is. I saw, continuing the Nora Ephron thing, I haven't seen Julia and Julie yet. Or is it Julie and Julia?
It's Julie.
It's Julie.
It's just Julie.
It's Julie.
It's like a live feed from Julie's house.
Julie. I'm a Julie. she's grafting away. I saw Sleepless in Seattle, When Harry Met Sally, Notebook. Then we saw Room with a View the other night.
Oh, great.
We ended
film.
Up watching that.
Yeah.
Just because I remembered so much of it.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, it was really nice. So it's been nice to watch old movies like that, but... Come on, you can't just sit at home watching old movies forever.
Can I not?
Sooner or later.
I really want to sit at home watching old movies forever.
Yeah, I know.
That's literally what I want to do.
There is a safety to it.
Well, hey, look, well, let's see what happens with the comedy, and then in the spring we'll go on a massive national tour.
We have to apologise to Martin Hutchinson if we're a little bit too serious at some points during the podcast. Because he did mention it a couple of weeks ago. Then
cheer,
said,
up, guys.
On, cheer up, mate. Cheer up. We like to mix the tone.
Cheer up,
We like to mix the tone. We like to inspire, amuse, provoke thoughts, occasionally bore, comfort, reassure, but not monetize.
Comfort, reassure. No, thank you, all of you. The constant beautiful pictures of the countryside.
Oh, wow.
All
your running, all our running. They're a real source of inspiration. They're fantastic.
And someone absolutely was asking fantastic. How many people listen to this, and the answer is plenty, but not enough. So spread the word.
Yeah. We don't keep an eye on that so much, but it's ever growing, and it's really healthy, and it's it's great, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's absolutely fantastic. So you're part of something big, and it's absolutely glorious. Love
something
it.
So big that there's going to be a big pushback.
Yeah, it's going to be massive. She's doing all right.
I'm just
distracted.
We're going to end this podcast with Paul gazing into the distance as this woman ran past saying wistfully, it's going to be massive.
It's going to be massive.
I think it's already massive. You should stand in a stoop. Turning this off. With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.